Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in and listening. We have kind of a special update tonight with Larry and What we're watching here, I believe, and we'll be talking about this, is really a communist coup. And you have to understand that the communist, socialist, Fabian socialist, Marxists have been infiltrating the United States of America now for years. And along comes the Donald, and he's in a war for his life, basically. And it doesn't matter if he is part of the scheme or is totally innocent and just trying to do what he says he's trying to do. And what's coming, however, is chaos, and it's intensifying. And we're in probably the most dangerous period of time that the United States has ever seen. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Hello, Stuart. Thanks for having me. I like your intro there where along comes Donald.
Yes, Donald, the not so peacemaker. He's really in. Evidently, he's in a lot of trouble. Before we get into that kind of connected dot scenario that you and I talked about, what's this situation of the military basically moving into part of Trump Tower?
Well, it seems for the moment that's somewhat of a mystery, but, you know, it is out there, the reports that military has moved in to a section of Trump Tower. It's unprecedented, never happened before. Of course, you got to remember, part of Trump's family is still there. They've also, have ran scenarios on evacuating them in an emergency situation, militarily, actually. And, you know, we don't know what's behind the scenes, but we do know that President Trump, ever since the inauguration, has been the most guarded man on the planet, I would suppose. I mean, the security is incredible. Security is incredible in the Florida, what they call the White House winter home or whatever for Trump. And then you've got the White House, which recently he moved out of to Florida to do some work after a lot of leaks were coming out about his phone calls to foreign governments. And there were some rumors of purges and Obama people appointments and all that were being sent out of the White House. And so, you know, the old movie 24, you remember, there were times they escorted someone out of the secure areas that they didn't trust anymore, didn't want there. So there's a lot of things going on, but the move of the military into the Trump Tower, I think, is something for us to kind of listen to pretty closely. That you know, and one thing, too, and I'd like your opinion on this, Stuart, it seems that Trump, ever since the beginning of this, has had incredible support from the military and the law enforcement in this country.
Oh, no question about it, and probably for good reason. He definitely, according to the information that came out of the meetings that he had with the sheriff and what they actually recorded and put on Fox News, he told them all he has their back. And Trump is a law and order man. He actually campaigned on that. And so I think the military, who has been decimated by Obama, knew that if this continued, they were in a lot of trouble. Now, the question is, are the enemies of America roundabout going to allow the rebuilding of our military, which is really in sad, sad shape? They don't even have money enough to get new parts. They're having to cannibalize equipment they already have to keep other equipment running. In a major war situation, which it appears is developing, we're going to be in serious trouble. And so I think that's what Trump is trying to turn around. And we have weapons that I don't think anybody knows about, like the TR-3, the anti-gravity TR-3Bs, and who knows what else they actually have. You emailed and sent me a picture of a what looked like a Heinebu German UFO on the back of a truck being probably taken to Area 51. We already know that they have them on Mars. We already know they have them on the moon. The only question is whose are they? And where is all of this coming from? So now we have Trump moving to basically, you know, it's almost like he doesn't want to be in the White House. Of course, maybe they're debugging the entire thing before he gets back in. Or is he back already? You hear all these reports, but is he back already?
Oh, yeah, he is back. A matter of fact, he's operating. You know, you and I have talked about some of the Tor codes where he actually, his codes kind of parallel Netanyahu's codes. And you got to remember, you know, he also is getting information from Netanyahu, from the rabbis in Israel, and this is ongoing. And a lot of the data, you know, the Middle East, the main Middle East man is Justin Kirchner, who is Ivanka's husband, who is right next to Donald Trump as far as the Middle East and everything that's sent Trump's way, I'm sure Jared gives him. And I know the rabbi information is also being moved in that direction. And but this is what's interesting. I'm watching, even as Netanyahu avoided some attempts on his life, it seems Trump is doing the very same similar fashion, because you remember he was going to stay more days away from the White House, and then he had a he suddenly went to the White House. So he is not allowing anyone to pre-program what he's doing. As a matter of fact, it's like he reminds me of somebody that's the sum of all fears. You remember they said those B-1 bombers were coming in and out of the you know, radar. You know, it wasn't. You couldn't keep a lock on them to shoot them down. Well, I think Trump and Netanyahu have really been good at coming in and out of the radar, set up to track them and set up a trap. And of course, then again, you could also say maybe that's the hand of the Lord.
Well, what interests me is why would the military be moving into Trump Tower at this point in time unless there's a possibility they know something? Now, Trump did say on national TV, he says, "I know something you don't," when he was kind of railing against these, well, I guess you can call them far-left judges, and I have my own opinion about that. I'm not sure why anybody's paying any attention to them, because it's outside of their purview, totally. They had no right to even interfere, but what you got is activist judges, and I think maybe this is the hand of the Lord once again revealing to the American people the height of corruption that we have within the judiciary itself. It's just very, very strange to me, all of this going on all at the same time and the timing of it. Let's get to that connected dots, and that gets us into Iran. What do they call him? The Khomeini? No.
Khomeini.
What did he actually say when he was rattling against Trump?
He was railing against Trump and told Trump that he had really better fear him, Khomeini. And then, of course, the people that don't know, that's Iran's supreme religious leader and the very violent I guess you could say provocative Revolutionary Guard troops. They operate from his orders only. They're very provocative. That's the ones down in Syria, down in Iraq. in the Persian Gulf with the boats. I mean, these guys are the bad guys, and they connect them all the way back to the original Iranian, you know, breakdown with the U.S. and, you know, the hostage situation under Carter. And so this has been going on a very, very long time, and Khamenei told Trump he had better fear him, and announced also a very interesting date. I don't know how to interpret it, but he said that we will respond to Trump on February the 10th, which is actually their revolution, the Iranian Revolution anniversary date, and said that, and then after that they pulled their ballistic missile that was on the launch pad back off of it, but he said February the 10th. So is that a clue? Possible.
Yeah, that kind of dovetails into this new, and you know what's amazing to me is that the rabbi flew all the way to the United States to give Mr. Shah an update on what they had discovered in the Bible codes that evidently, you want to go into that?
Yeah, we
maybe
can.
Maybe go through the words and everything?
Sure. Rabbi Glazerson, instead of sending it by internet or by telephone calls, he brought it in person, a Torah code out of Israel, brought it to the U.S., and has had some meetings and has met with Richard Shaw. Now, here's the, they call it the Iranian missile, 5777 war. And, of course, you know, all of these are dots, all of these words, we don't know how to connect the words exactly. We don't know. We know it's dangerous to try to build more on these words than they mean. And we don't know exactly how the connection is, but I'll give you the words. There's 10 of them. Number one, 5777. Number two, Iran. Number three, from Yemen missile. Number four, Houthi. Number five, Shabbat. Number six, Islam. Number seven, Riyadh. Number eight, Shiite. Number nine, terror. And 10 is to Arab. Now, you had asked me, Stuart, we was talking about Shabbat. Where would that fit in, and what was that date? Now, this is what is intriguing. When I looked that up for you, Shabbat this year is Saturday, February the 11th, 2017. And I thought, wow, the Khamenei threatened something February the 10th, and February the 11th, you've got this code, you know.
So the 10th in Israel, in that area of the country, would be on a Friday, right?
Yeah. I believe that's, well, their day starts early. I think their Friday night would be Saturday. You know, they're like 12 hours or so ahead of us.
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of interesting, though, that, let's go through those words again. So the first one is what? Iran?
No, 5777, the year.
Okay, so that is the key pivot year. We found that in the Omega Code over and over and over again. Other people are now coming out with all the reasons why 5777 is a key pivot year. I mean, I suppose we're speculating as to why it is, but it just appears to be the 120th year from the first Jewish Congress in 1897. And remember in Genesis, the Lord said, I'll give mankind 120 years. Well, Jesus said, as it was back in those days, it's going to be again. So I believe you can carry that 120-year statement over to our time period. In fact, I think you're forced to because of the words of the Lord. So the only question is where do you date it from? Well, we analyze that Israel is the key of all latter-day prophecy. It all revolves around the nation of Israel. So the foundation of Israel was in 1897 at the first Jewish Congress. That's when they laid down all of that. 20 years later, Allenby takes Jerusalem, which, by the way, he did without firing a shot, as the prophecy said they would. That's what would happen. So 2017 is the end of the 120 years. Huh. So 5777 is obviously then a key year. Okay, what's the next one on that list?
Iran.
Well, that kind of pinpoints, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Iran is Daniel 8. The key provocateur in Daniel 8 appears to be Iran. So isn't it kind of odd that we have this Bible code just surfacing and done by probably the world's leading expert on Bible code? And he's very, very conservative, is he not?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the third one is intriguing because you got to remember, all the missiles being fired in the region of Yemen in this war is Iranian missiles. Iran provided the missiles, and number three says from Yemen missile. And then number four is Houthi, which is the rebels that are fighting against Saudi Arabia and using the Iranian missiles. And if you'll remember some recent, over a few months, you know, they fired a missile or two, Scud type, Iranian, over into Saudi Arabia, but they've never fired as far as Riyadh. But my question is, is an Iranian missile about to be used to fire at Riyadh, Saudi Arabia? That would erupt a war.
Yeah, it most certainly would. And, you know, you can have any little incident can trigger their, you know, they're kind of, how do we say, more violence prone over there when they get irritated. So a missile coming out of Yemen hits Saudi Arabia. I remember reading some time ago there was a Jewish scholar who had done a lot of research on Daniel chapter 8. And he made mention, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, that not only would Iran go after that, but they go after Mecca as well in this surprise attack. So that's
I was just going to say that that's true. And then this is what's kind of interesting is the next word is Shavat, and we looked at that, and that appears to be Saturday, February the 11th, 2017. So it's in the same time frame as apparently the Iranian threat by the Khomeini there.
Okay, so then if we were to connect that with Donald Trump's remark, I know things you don't, and we better get with this program. And he laid, everybody's kind of jumping up and down on him because of his comments about the judiciary. But when the judiciary is corrupt, why can't you make comments about it?
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. Yeah, I've been in law enforcement all my life. I've been through court systems all my life, and I've listened to judges. I've listened to good judges and bad judges. And listen, when I listened to that 9th District or whatever it was out in Washington, what they were talking about and how they talked, you know, Trump actually said the truth. He said even Spicer did today, Trump's press secretary, he said even a high school kid could listen to that and see right through it.
Well, yeah, because what they're talking about has no bearing on what they were supposed to be ruling on. So, again, what we have is far left judiciary that seems to want to act. I mean, can you imagine that this guy out there in Washington can put a stop, can put a total stop and outweigh the judgment of the President of the United States, who knows everything about what's going on behind the scenes and who the enemies are, and this upstart leftist judge trumps Trump. Incredible. absolutely incredible. Do the American people not see what's actually going on here?
Well,
that you can have
one lone guy
do this?
Well, it seems, Stuart, that the American people still are on the couch. I mean, do you see any? Where are they at? I mean, tell me, where's the outrage? Where's the concern for their safety and their children's safety? And this is what's interesting. They've already revealed that this judge that did this, he is an activist immigration pro bono attorney for the immigrants already. And not only that, like that wouldn't, cause you to stand back a little bit. He also has reported that he's a big follower of Black Lives Matter. So when you say the word activist judge, you know, it makes me wonder why we really even, why there's any respect for judges anymore anyway. I mean, and this is interesting too, Stuart, and I'd like your opinion here. There were some other people came out today on Fox that have been in, you know, this type of legal work all their life and very familiar with federal rulings and mm-hmm. federal judges. And they said that, this appears to be a civil war. This is actually a war between the executive branch and the judicial branch, and that Congress is just hamstrung and left out in the cold.
Well, of course, we are talking about Jeremiah, and we're talking about ruler against ruler, and now it's accelerating. And the point being, I guess, that even the Ninth Circuit Court is known to be a liberal, far-left court, and I listened to the phone call, part of it anyway. The questions they were asking were irrelevant.
Yeah,
they
absolutely
weren't even part of what they were supposed to be ruling on. So why shouldn't they be criticized? Not only should be criticized, they should all be impeached.
Well, you know what, some of their evidence some of their evidence was from all places, which were also very far left, is the New York Times report of something Rudy Giuliani said. In other words, a newspaper article that didn't even vet it. They don't even know it's true. It's a newspaper article from a newspaper that has problems, and that's the evidence in this court system? This is insane.
Well, it is, because that kind of evidence is not even the issue. The issue is strict interpretation of, was Donald Trump's executive order constitutional or not? And according to the law that was passed, it is absolutely constitutional, and even a third grader could figure that one out. So, as Trump said, this is political. This is a ruler against ruler, but the judiciary has become political. Look at the Supreme Court of the United States. Look at somebody like, what's her name, Ruth Ginsburg or whatever
Ginsburg.
She calls herself. Yeah. Look at what she said. She said, well, you know, we have to look at what Europe does and what all these other nations do to really come up with a ruling. I can't remember exactly how she worded it, but that's what it meant. She swore an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. What has that got to do with Europe, Canada, or any other nation in the world, and what they're doing? Or looking at the United Nations to see what they're doing?
Well, Stuart, that dovetails us right back into the fact that we've already gone global, mentally and politically. And I suppose in other ways, too, the New World Order, when the original George Bush announced it, the New World Order, remember that, you know?
Yes.
He announced it like we're there. And so, but they've had problems implementing this completely. And I think over the last few years, especially during, of course of now especially, but especially the last few years of Obama, the wild cards, Netanyahu, Putin, and now Trump, has really messed up their plan.
Yeah, it's funny, but it's sad, because I really do believe what we're watching is America's death whale. She's not going to get out of this. and the Bible says she's not going to get out of it. We would have healed Babylon, or America, but she would not be healed. She won't. And what we're watching is exactly why she won't. We got activist judiciary sticking their nose in stuff. It's absolutely none of their business, whatever. They can't even rule on stuff like that. It's totally outside their purview, and yet they're accepting all of this. So really what that means is any judge anywhere can stop Donald Trump from really doing anything. He issues an executive order. Some weird leftist judge pops up and says, you can't do that. And so this thing is going to be an absolute quagmire of chaos and war, like just you said, ruler against ruler, accelerating to the point where Isaiah says the United States government fails. It just implodes upon itself.
Oh, what's interesting,
and, of course, we've got enemies round about who are looking at that.
Yeah. What's interesting, too, and I'd like your opinion on this, is whose fingerprints appear to be on us and the Brexit both. And of course, George Soros probably is crying in his beer tonight because the government of the UK just now voted to leave to exit the EU. And that's a done deal. They're leaving. And it's official. And remember, though, when they were Brexiting away and trying to, remember George Soros and them went trying to use the legal system to block the exit?
Mm-hmm.
And what are we having now? Somebody's the similar fingerprints involved in our liberal judges. And there are also reports coming in. You know, of course, we knew Hillary and you know, all of them were pretty much funded by Soros. But there are reports that the California and the West Coast rebellion, so to speak, against Trump, and this is where these judges are from, they're being funded by George Soros, the same man all over again.
Yeah, I had read that article where they traced it all back to Soros. So what you got is George Soros, who is an American citizen, I understand, is committing sedition, if not treason. So why isn't there an arrest warrant out for him? I mean, you know.
Well, I might be able to answer that question, and maybe things will change. They just now approved Jeff Sessions for the Attorney General. He'll be sworn in, and tomorrow I'll probably be the new Attorney General of the United States, and I expect we're going to see changes like we have never seen in the DOJ. I think a lot of this has been stalled because if you've watched it closely, even during these court hearings, these are political people. I mean, all this DOJ that's trying to, they didn't even want to do it for Trump. And if you looked at the responses, they didn't even appear interested in the cases.
Well, they aren't. They're just interested in promoting a communist agenda. So what we got, I've been hearing some rumbles about a purges going on, kind of, you know, getting rid of some of these Obama entrenched people or communists. They're in all of the, you know, it's kind of like this lady that just got sworn in for the educational thing. I mean, the National Education Association is far left open. I've read their own statements. They're communists. And you remember that the communist leaders, I don't know if it was Stalin or who it was, that said, give me your children for one or two generations and I'll have the whole nation. So these guys are all brainwashed. It's kind of like major media. They are educated in the liberal leftist think tanks. And so that's what they espouse. And unfortunately, I think what the Lord is doing here is opening up such a can of worms that we will not get out of it. What say you on that one? I think the Lord is really doing some dirty work here.
Well, I think, you know, as I said, even during the election, if Donald Trump doesn't win the presidency, one thing he has done, and that has drawn the evil out of this empire, and he's exposed it. He's exposed it over and over and over, and that goes simply along with so many prophetic words that, you know, in this last days of Babylon, so to speak, and I know a lot of people don't agree with that, but that he would expose their evil. And we're seeing it. Our entire system of government is totally corrupted. And you know, I kind of laughed when the Democrats wouldn't even come to Washington, you know, when Trump's inauguration. And I thought, you know, in a way, that was kind of, he was already draining the swamp by just being inaugurated. The swamp was
yeah,
leaving,
he was.
You know, ahead of him. And, hey, I wanted to run something else by you, really interesting. I was sitting here yesterday. We were watching all of this stuff. They was battling against Trump about immigration. They was battling against Trump on the wall. And Darnette looked over at me, and you know what she said? She said, well, heaven's kind of like that. Heaven has a wall. Heaven has a gate. And it's an extreme vetting in heaven.
I love it. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Very extreme vetting to get into that city. Yeah, I know people don't believe that America is Babylon. The vast majority of them are in total denial. There are over 140 parameters that prove it, and prove it exclusively. It is no other nation on the face of the earth that fulfills those parameters, descriptive phrases, if you will. And they're soon going to know, because they're going to be on their knees very soon and probably probing their way through radiation-filled dust from the nuclear attack that is soon going to come upon the United States. We are being maneuvered into a no-win situation, and I think the Lord's just using Donald Trump to do it. He's going to, as I think you and I have talked about, Trump is somehow connected to Israel in a great big way. We may have Trump for a year, 2 years. Who knows how long he's actually going to be here. But I believe he will set up the embassy in Jerusalem. He'll oversee the probably the Sanhedrin and the temple being rebuilt. And that'll be the final phase of mankind's probation on planet Earth. And people are just, I don't know, comatose, whatever, and don't understand what's really happening and how serious what is going on in our court system is. This sort of thing can bring our entire nation down, these activist judges. They can tie this thing up to the point where you can't do anything, which is more or less what Isaiah says about America, that we begin to implode within. We can't get anything done. The things that should be done are not. The things that ought to be done are not. And we're beginning to watch that happen right under our noses. And the prophecies against America Babylon are just being fulfilled left and right. But we have a bunch of apostates in the United States. I don't even know if they've even read Isaiah 47, Jeremiah 50, 51. I watched a guy on a website the other day, and he was talking about how it's Saudi Arabia and America's not even in prophecy, and on he goes, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, this really is apostasy, where people are in total denial. They're drinking and bathing, as you and I have often said, in the river of denial, drinking the tea, bathing in it, and you try to warn them, you can't, because they won't hear it.
Well, here's what's interesting, too, Stuart, and I like your opinion on this, is the fact that recent headline, it was on Day-O News. That's where I got it, and it you know, it's an official headline. And it's talking about on America's southern border, you know, under Trump, they've already apprehended some Iraqi and Egyptian nationals that were sneaking across the border into our country. And what's interesting is the fact that what is – now, this so-called blockage of Trump's Emergency Act to give our country some kind of border protection and safety, what if now we have a massive terror attack somewhere? You know, there's been a lot of prophetic utterances about a bigger than 9-1-1 that was going to wind up in America if there was no repentance.
Oh, I think so. I don't think there's any question. Yeah, I think there's no question that they've got to. If you're going to bring down a nation, you've got to stun the people into acquiescing into whatever they want. That's been the plan of the New World Order boys and girls right along. They have no conscience. They're just biological walking computers with no compassion, no mercy. They have an agenda, and they live for that agenda and for their children's agenda. The Bible makes it clear this is a generational thing, this New World Order thing that they're trying to push. And I believe the Bible says they're going to win. Go ahead.
I was just going to say what's interesting, too, is the fact that they're reporting that possibly by tomorrow or the next day, the Trump administration is about to announce the Iran's Revolutionary Guard and the Muslim Brotherhood as terrorist organizations and begin to go after them. And this is what's interesting is under Obama, the Muslim Brotherhood, people were brought in into our government.
Oh, by the truckloads. In fact, Obama had, I don't know, 7 or 8 people. Well, even Valerie Jarrett and those people, they're all Muslim Brotherhood types. Obama himself said, if a push comes to shove, I'm going to back the Muslim world. He was a Muslim. Everybody's saying, oh, he's just a Christian. Or everybody said, well, he just doesn't know what he's doing. He's stupid. He can't do this right. Can't do that. Obama is extremely intelligent, knows exactly what he's doing, and his job was to bring America down, and he did a pretty good job of it. So then Trump comes along trying to rescue America, but it's too late.
Well, one of the
in order to turn this thing around, Larry, he's got to go to martial law. And I hate to say that because that kind of feeds into this, you know, he's a Nazi, he's a fascist, blah, 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 blah. But if you got all these judges jumping into the works where it's none of their business in the first place, how do you stop it?
Well, that's interesting that you would bring that up, and that, again, might dovetail back into some military being in the Trump Tower. Let me connect a few dots here with you and some of the listeners.
Yes.
And I'm not telling anybody to believe this. I just want to tell you a little time scenario here and some things we do know. Remember, as you know, about the time Trump was inaugurated, and we talked about assets, naval assets, carrier groups.
Yes.
They don't move real fast. That takes days and days to get, you know, from the U.S. to the Middle East. So, for them to be already in the Mediterranean, Trump almost had to release them on inauguration day to have those assets there. Now, this is what's interesting, Stuart. You'll remember about the time Trump also came into office that there was a Yemen operation. And, of course, the Torah code said Yemen, remember? And,
yes.
You know, there was an operation.
Right.
We lost a Navy SEAL. We lost a Navy SEAL. Another one was injured. And they said something about they had killed some al-Qaeda leadership and killed a bunch of the terrorists and also captured data. Now, they didn't say any more about that, okay? Then all of a sudden we begin to see Saudi Arabia, a great concern about the Saudi Arabia and Israel and an attack from Iran or Iran's assets on them. And then at the same time,
yep.
You know, we get they try to blow up a Saudi ship, you know, off of Yemen. And then the USS Cole, ironically, arrives off Yemen. And then we find out there's a fleet of 13 ships, somewhat like NATO ships, you know, in the region.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out about a carrier group that I was told about that is in the Mediterranean now moving towards Iran. They had Spicer was on TV today. And also they're having missile drills around Hawaii. Hawaii is on alert. The USS John Paul Jones, I believe the name of it is, shot down a ballistic missile today that was reported to be a test. But why are they really jumping and practicing shooting down a ballistic missile Number one is Hawaii is vulnerable to an Iranian missile or a North Korean missile. And so we've got, and then you've got Russia's Air Force on high alert. And then at the same time, Spicer came on today, who's talking for Trump. It's his press secretary. And they brought up the deal about the Navy SEALs. And, you know, of course, during this same time scenario, this did this great push by Trump, you know, moving forward as fast as I've ever seen anybody work in my life, try to secure our borders. And, you know, and this is what's interesting. Spicer said today when they brought up, did the Navy SEALs, the one that got killed, did it accomplish anything? He said, oh, absolutely. He's a great hero. You know, they did a great job. And he added this, and I was kind of shocked he added this. He said, they captured incredible intelligence there in Yemen. And remember, the missiles being fired and provided in the direction of the Yemeni people, the Houthis that are fighting Saudi Arabia, is directed by the Khomeini, the Revolutionary Guard. But they captured, he said they captured vital intelligence information. And he said this will save many lives in the days ahead. Now, that's a clue, Stuart.
Sure is. And maybe that's tied directly to what Trump said when he came out and said, well, I know more than you do. Talking to the judges. And here we have, again, we have these activist judges literally can destroy this nation. This is extremely dangerous ground that we're watching as leader against leader, ruler against ruler. So now we have the executive branch basically at war with the judiciary. And we have Congress, basically the Democrats and some of the New World Order boys and girls on the Republican side, at war with Trump.
Well, what's interesting, I was just going to say, Stuart, it's really interesting that Congress almost appears to be at war with itself, you know?
They are.
You know, it's running, it's like, have you ever seen a dog just go nuts and start chasing its own tail?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of that. But here's what's interesting, too. There is quite a bit of talk about the judicial and the executive branch so-called war that's ongoing right now because they say this has brought on a constitutional crisis. And, you know, I was thinking, Stuart, I was trying to apply something biblical to those judges, and that this crossed my mind, you know, where it talks about, and they're not even being constitutional. You listen to the interview with them. It's not about the Constitution. It's about, and I'll say this is a quote from the Bible, what's right in their own eyes.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, they're not paying any attention to the law. They're lawless. And, of course, America's name in Scripture basically is the lawless nation. And Obama was the lawless one. So here we have Donald come in to try and straighten it out. But I just have a feeling this is going to go bad. And what's going on with all the uprisings at the university? Any more university uprisings at all? I know they keep having demonstrations here and there and everywhere. But is that basically cooling down or is that heating up?
No, it appears to be, they're moving around in direction and this is still ongoing, and there seems to be threats in the background that as soon as this ruling or whatever does come down, doesn't come down, whatever, if it ever does, they're going to stay in the streets and they're going to do this. And of course, the Democrats are on a scorched earth policy. And I guess the George Soros is also funding or throwing his money into the streets. Rich men does that, it says in the Bible. To keep the streets on fire and the trouble. And, I'm beginning to think, Stuart, that if Donald Trump doesn't do anything else, he's revealed the evil in Babylon. You know, our entire government is full of it. And, and at the same time, the pivot seems to be Donald may really save the Middle East in one form or fashion because it appears we are moving towards a quickly moving, and I talked to Richard Shaw, and he agrees with us, Stuart. it appears quickly we're moving to a Daniel 8 war, a sudden war in the Middle East, and Trump may be the hand of the Lord in reestablishing what's going on in Israel and also defending Israel, or defending the entire Middle East, basically, from an Iran that just goes berserk.
Well, it appears now that maybe Daniel 8 is a trigger for Isaiah 17, which is the trigger for Ezekiel 38:39, and 38:39 does, in fact, include the attack upon the United States of America. It's well laid out there in Jeremiah and elsewhere. So, yeah, we're in a lot of trouble, and it seems like the Lord. Well, He says, "My hand is stretched out upon the nations, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and nobody's going to stop me." So we're watching the nations of the world being maneuvered into their final positions for the grand hoo-ha, which is World War III, and basically the elimination of the new world, our world civilization, the end of man's probation. And I just wish people would understand where we are. This is not going to keep going forever. I know in the Bible it says, well, I think you talked about it earlier, where, you know, this vision will tarry, but it's not going to tarry forever. It's going to come to its end. And yeah. The more I watch this scenario going on within, we're watching the United States governmental body implode upon itself, and the American people are going to be the victims. And because they will not rise up, the Lord has put a rope around all their necks. He's going to hang them all.
Well, I was just
going
to say another dot also before we get off the Middle East to connect is this, Stuart, and I'd like your opinion on what you think. As soon as it appears we captured intelligence out of Yemen, you know, with our special forces, our Navy SEAL teams,
yes.
Then we begin to see a scenario in Israel immediately where they begin moving, they begin to bring out missiles that shoot down ballistic missiles even before it can merge in space. I mean, that's big stuff that they would not reveal. They've got a lot of military movement and preparing for an attack, and there are rumors already coming out of a possible Iranian-led Hezbollah attack across the Golan. And at the very same time as that's happening, Stuart, I noted that Erdogan in Turkey, they've arrested, they did a purge, they arrested 400 and something that they say are terrorist linked, and are deporting a lot of those out of their country. And then the other one is, Ipcofile yesterday reported that almost 40,000 Pakistanis are being deported by the Saudi Arabian government, that they have rounded them up, and they are getting rid of them amid concerns over terror attacks.
Well, you know, it's also very interesting, and we haven't really touched on it, and its effect possibly on war, is what Stan Deo found, which has now been eliminated on Google, the area, kind of an Area 51, an alien UFO base that was there. So how is Saudi Arabia connected to aliens, which are in fact connected to Antarctica and what they're finding down there?
Well, that's interesting, Stuart, because with you asking that question, you know, Stan Deo clearly said it was a fallen one's base. In other words, fallen angel base. This is, and he said, very ancient. And, of course, you know, we saw the images. You know, I sent you a copy of the images of it taken by satellite before they removed it. And what's interesting is apparently Iran wants not only, I guess, Mecca, but they want all of Saudi Arabia, which I would say would include there also. And, you know, recently the Prince of Persia has been on a roll. Maybe he also is behind getting back from Saudi Arabia what he claims is his.
Well, remember, wasn't it Daniel that he had that big fight with the Prince of Persia? Wasn't it Michael? The archangel had a big fight with the Prince of Persia. So this, you're dealing with strongholds. And, of course, when we went into Iraq, as you said long ago, America probably came under the Prince of Persia at that point in time, and things have gone downhill ever since.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here we sit, you know, and we have been maneuvered into an I would pray that America could come out of this, that we were given a year or 2 year reprieve, and hopefully that's the case, and hopefully Donald does win for a while. But I don't really see it with everything else that's going on. It looks to me like we are being either provoking Iran to strike to give us an excuse to take it out, or Iran's just going to go on its own because it figures, hey, with all this stuff, I better move fast. And they, of course, they want a war, right? Because they want the 12th Ayman to come out of his well and rule the world. Am I right there?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Joel Rosenberg has written a number of things on this Ayman and how that he, you know, comes out of the well according to their prophecies. And, you know, that's kind of what's interesting, Stuart. It appears, I would think, you know, you brought up the Daniel 8 war, and Richard Shaw says he absolutely agrees with it. The rabbis are operating in that, you know, faction also, looking into that. Torah codes are beginning to show it. And what it appears, Stuart, it appears like it's one of those, it's almost like the Daniel 8 war is almost like Isaiah 17. It cannot be stopped. Now, maybe delayed, but not stopped. So it appears to be, and Donald Trump, remember, has already told Iran, I'm not Obama, period. And he's moving assets. And a lot of people in the States are so busy watching the political scenarios going on and all the protests are marching. They don't realize we've got a military assets moving across the world since the inauguration day came. And I'm beginning to think that Daniel 8 is simply, it's civilizations in a headlong dash towards each other. I don't think it can be stopped. I think that, you know, Trump will back down and Iran won't back off. And so it's going to blow.
Well, if Iran makes a move, Trump is going to pummel them. That's what the Bible says. Daniel 8 says that we just basically take Iran, not totally out, but how do we say, clip their wings, as I think Mad Dog Mattis said something about, you know, if they keep it
that was
their wings.
Trump? That was Benjamin Netanyahu from Israel said that Trump was about to clip Iran's wings.
Well, America is said to be the hammer of the whole earth. And nations that don't do what we say, and I think what we're watching is the final, you know, there's always a, how do I word this? But usually when people are on their deathbed, they rally. And people marvel, and they kind of return to normal, and they feel great, and then all of a sudden they die.
That
happens time after time after time with people. How about we apply that concept to America? We're rallying right now.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting thought.
I just think that's what's happening, and it's going to fool everybody. Now is not the time to be resting at all. Now is the time to be really watching what's going on. What other stuff do you have here? We got so much.
We were
talking about this cleric. Yeah, go ahead.
I know. I was going to mention, you talked about the rally, a rally before death. And is that not what we have in the stock market, Stuart? They're at their highest. They're rallying high, and they shouldn't be, but yet they are. It reminds you of somebody that woke up one morning that had been in a coma, and he began to have a really good day, and he could see without his glasses, and the next day he wasn't there anymore.
Yes. And I, you know, they can pull the economy anytime they want through a derivative failure. And that can happen overnight. And I got a feeling that the rich men of the earth, doesn't matter who Trump is or what he does, the economy is the one tool they have to destroy the United States. Close the banks. Remember David Wilkinson? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, you follow the bot, and I'm like you. I don't know the real the backing of the bots and who's really behind all of that other than Cliff High, but I did see a bot notice that just came out talking about a real warning for a March trouble in the markets, something that may come in March, and that's the bots talking about that, warning about it.
Well, the main rogue economists, like John Williams, who's testified before Congress a number of times, they all know that this thing is going to fail. It has to fail. They can't keep doing it. It's a Ponzi scheme, always was a Ponzi scheme. And it's just going to, one day we're going to wake up, the banks will be closed, and your ATMs won't work. And if you don't have some cash on hand, you're going to be in trouble because you won't be able to go to a grocery store without it. That's why we have warned people repeatedly, and I'm doing it again. Make sure David Wilkinson said he saw in almost all of what he claimed in his prophecy has actually come to pass. There's very few things left, but one of them is a 6-month bank holiday. Noyes, that ne'er-do-well Charmin lady of the Native Americans, said the stock market is going to go to zero. Now, we can't get our minds around a 6-month day holiday, bank holiday, or the stock market going to zero. Not saying it's going to happen, but these are the warnings that are coming. And I don't think very many people are paying any attention to that at all. I think they just think that everything's going to continue as it always has, ignoring the Bible's sudden destruction, so to speak. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're exactly right. You were going to ask me about some cleric or something.
Oh, the Ayman. You know, early on when Obama took office, there were some clerics over there that said they thought Obama was the 12th Ayman.
Well, that's true.
Well, he's not gone yet. So this is all going to be very, very interesting. Just keep your eyes open, folks, and don't be surprised at anything that happens, because we're really in the final times. It's a very exciting time. It's a very scary time. And people really ought to dig into their Bibles and lay hold of the Lord, because he is really the only escape they have. I know most people don't buy into that, but it's true. He is the escape. And people are going to find it out the hard way, I'm afraid. What do you think?
Well, I think that's true. And I wanted to mention, Stuart, here that lately I haven't posted as much news, because there seems to be a lot of fake news being moved around the media lately, and I have to work hard to vet it. And what we use on these shows, we have pretty much vetted, and if we didn't, we tell you that, and to let people know we're doing the best we can, but there's a lot of fake news moving across the Internet.
Yeah, there is, and nothing anybody can do about it. You just have the Bible is the guide. Go back to the Bible, try and figure out what it says, and then you have an idea of stuff going on, nefarious stuff. How do they reach you, Larry? We got about 30 seconds.
Quickest way is my blog, LarryWTaylor.org.
Okay, and folks, email us at enigma@trueinsight.com. And we do have a special up there now. It's called DEFCON 1. It's an e-book. And the 10 kings that destroyed the United States, and people need to lay hold of those books, and they'll know what's coming and why. Anyway, good night, and we appreciate all the listeners and their help. So we'll see you Friday. Good night.